Don't worry, I did enjoy myself off the film, and yeah, I smoked, I drank, and I had a great time, but I did. I had to put the extra work in it.
Welcome back to the From Then to Now podcast. In episode 9, we catch up with one of the greatest characters and larrikins of rugby league, Dave the Mule Hosking. The Mule played 78 games at New South Wales Rugby League, including 63 for his beloved Manly Sea Eagles. We caught up with Hosking to chat about the toughest players he played with, having to leave Manly to make his first grade debut, and of course, as you heard in the intro, his love of a cold beer. Remember, if you enjoy this episode of the podcast, leave a rating and a comment and subscribe to make sure you're the first to catch our episodes with some of the best stories in Australian sporting history. Now on to the chat with Dave the Mule Hosking.
You're a Manly junior, but you had to go to South Sydney for your start in first grade. Talk us through that.
Yeah, that's right, Adam. I was a Manly junior, played for Harbour United and the Valley United, the beautiful down there in God's Garden at Harbour Park. And yeah, so I went to grade, I think it was in 84. And at that stage, I had 84, 85, 86 at Manly. And at that stage, they had, you know, a lot of internationals and playing reserve grade, like the Dave Browns, Paul McCabe's, Ray Browns, you know, the guys who played for Australia. I couldn't really see myself getting an opportunity there at Manly, so my best mate Wayne Chisholm, he was over at South, and he said, well, why don't you come over and give us a crack over here? So I had a bit of negotiation with South. Well, you know, it was never about money, it was all about an opportunity. So yeah, I went over to there, and luckily enough, I got an opportunity. I think the second year in I was there, I got to play a bit of first grade, so it was great.
Did you enjoy your time at South?
Loved my time at South. Good blokes, still good mates now with Mickey Andrews, Craig Coleman, and those guys go to their reunions at sometimes, and yeah, they're good times. It was a lot different coming from Manly, going to South, especially at that time in the 80s. You know, like it was, at that time there was no Russell Crowe, and professionalism was actually quite down at South compared to what I'd come from Manly. You know, I think we got our training signals halfway through the year. Like it was only a little thing, but you know, that was just something that didn't flow on so much, and yeah, but it was great fun. I had a really good time. Paulie Roberts, another guy that, you know, is a champion bloke, and just got on. The Moon brothers, Dave and Jason, I keep in contact with Dave now, and unfortunately Jason's gone. But yeah, no, it was really good fun, great fun.
And I guess that gave you a bit of taste of first grade, but you had to go, I think you went through back to Bankstown, was it?
I had 3 years at South, so I mean, I think the first year I played in the 23s grand final, we played St George at the cricket, last game at the cricket ground, the grand final, we got belted by 38-16 or something, but we did a hard way to get there, you know, we played two midweek games in leading into the major semi and then the final, I think we played midweek games just to get to the grand final, so we played a lot of footy. But we won 23s, got beat, then the next 2 years I played, I was in there to first grade, played a few. Then come the end of 88, there was nothing there. There was no contract there for me. They didn't want me anymore. And so I'd tried to explore my options. I actually I went to Bankstown Greyhounds. I spoke with them because Steve Goshen was the coach at that stage. And, you know, I had a good agreement with him that if anything come up with Manly, that, you know, with any grade, they'd let me go. But also in the meantime, I spoke. Probably the wrong thing, you know, it's the wrong thing to do. I'd spoke to Toronto up here in the Newcastle comp. They chased me pretty hard and wanted me to come up and play for them as well. So I was to and fro and, yeah, I'll play, come here, come there and then. But in the end, I ran into Darryl Williams at the Harbour Diggers of all places. And it wasn't in the bar, it was in the gym, strangely enough. And he said, you know, why don't I give Marty Gert a call? Marty was Graham Lowe's assistant at the time. So I rang Marty and I said, you know, what's the opportunity of a trial, Marty? And he goes, oh, yeah. So he spoke to Graham and said, yeah, right. So I went down and did a couple of training sessions. And then we played, actually played South at Redfern Oval. And played in the trial and played pretty well because I'd got myself into pretty good nick at that stage. You know, I was pretty fit and played, you know, I played pretty well. I think I even tried a chip and chase at one stage. Like, I was like, was just out there. So obviously Graham Lowe liked what he saw, called into the Doug Daly's office later that week, and then we had a bit of to and fro with Bankstown. trying to release me to come back to play at Manly, and which they did, thank God, you know, they gave me an opportunity to come back. And so, yeah, and then I had played another trial, and then lo and behold, I'm playing, starting the comp. We played Balmain at Leichhardt Oval in the first comp game. And yeah, it was a funny day actually, because it was a real hot, it wasn't summer, but it was spring, autumn day. So it had been really hot, and you can see a storm brewing as we drove there. And sure enough, it calmed down, bucketed down, and you know, it started hailing, and people were just going, wow, you know, it's playing. The ref called Michael O'Connor in, who was the captain at the time, and I think Benny was the captain for the Tigers, and said, do you just want to go off? And we were on top at that stage, not expecting to win, because you know, we were a pretty young side, and Benny said, yeah, I think we should go off. And Michael said, no, we're not going off. So we stuck on and we won the game in the end. And Marty Bella played an absolute blinder that day, and you had Ian Roberts as well. But the funny part about the game was Frankie Stokes had come down from Darwin. And he was playing the back, I think. He might have done the fullback or the wing, I'm not real sure anymore. When it started hailing, he hadn't seen hail before. And he's looking around thinking someone's throwing ice at him. So he went up to Michael O'Connor and said, you've got to stop the game. You've got to tell the ref that someone's throwing ice at me. So, but yeah, that was a little by play for Frankie. But yeah, he copped a bit over that for quite a few years.
What was it like being a Manly boy and finally pulling on that jersey and running out in the first place?
Honestly, it was just a dream come true. You know, it's all I wanted to do growing up was you know, play first grade for Manly. I followed them, I still do now, you know. They're really passionate about them. But yeah, the day that you know I got the call to say that I was starting and playing first grade at Manly, I was just like, wow, you know. That was, especially the first game at Balmain was great, but the next game back at Brookvale, that was just, yeah, unreal. You know, I was lucky enough to get a call up to play for City there 1 year, but it's still that's the highlight for me, is running onto Brookvale Oval, it was my second first grade game for Manly at that stage, but yeah, it was just great, it was a dream come true.
You obviously weren't a one-hit wonder, because you put together two or three really good seasons.
Yeah, you know, as I said, I was lucky enough. Graham, you know, liked what he saw in me. I had a bit of a battle there at one stage when Adrian Shelford, actually. Adrian came out from England. And I know Lowy was, you know, a big fan of Adrian. Me and him at one stage were battling for the position. And I think Michael O'Connor went in to bat for me and said, you can't drop the mule. He's been our best forward for the last 2 years, you know. So, you know, fair enough. You know, we played a semi-final there at City Frost, and we played Balmain, actually, the first semi. And I played 35 minutes, and he took me off and put Adrian on, and that was his plan. And so that's how it went, you know. So a few of the boys just to start, then nicknamed me half a game mule. It's not half a game Marty, half a game mule. You know, and even actually when I got married, a bloke got up and made a speech and said, oh, when do we know when Adrian's going to take over mule? So yeah, but yeah, I was, you know, it was, I did have some good years back then, but yeah, you know, I had to work hard at it. There's no doubt about it. The bloke we're talking about before, Johnny Jones, Jughead and I, we used to get the training an hour and a half before anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, and we'd do, we'd both do 10 3-minute rounds boxing on the pad of the focus mitts. I'd do 10, then he'd put me through, then I'd put him through. So, you know, it was an hour, good solid training before we even started training. So we were in good nick, and, you know, he played pretty well. Obviously played in John's football too. There the 1 year, I think he was runner-up in the Rothmans medal. So it wasn't easy. It was a lot of hard work went into it, but it was benefit. It was unreal. So good.
Did you used to laugh about your reputation in some fans' eyes as a guy who looked like he enjoyed himself off the field, but you're actually...
Yeah, well, don't worry, I did enjoy myself off the field. And you know, I'd smoke and I'd drunk and I had a great time, but I did. I had to put the extra work in. Yeah, I mean, you know, it probably lent to the myth a little bit is, you know, the mule, he's just a bloke who likes to party. He doesn't train real hard, but he goes out and plays pretty well. Yeah, that was a bit of fun.
Was that a bit unfair that some of us looked...
Oh yeah, it was, but you know, as I said, it probably added to the you know, well, not the legend, of the, you know, the story of me, you know, rather, you know, everyone, you know, just have a look at me, you know, playing around with, you know, running around with blokes like Ian Roberts, who was just an athlete, and Owen Cunningham, another one, who was an athlete, and Desi was playing at the time, and Jeffrey, and everyone was just so fit, and they'd look at me and wouldn't think I was fit, but I was, you know, probably just as not, I wouldn't be as fit as Robbo, But yeah, I was up there.
That old front row.
Yeah, I had that physique, and you know, I still have. It's but that was just the way it is. I had a footballer's body, not an athlete's body. You know, which is, I think today is, it's probably a bit of a shame. There's not many footballers left. There are more athletes now than there is footballers.
Some of those fantastic players you just mentioned there. I mean, who was the best couple in your eyes you played with?
Oh, mate, there's no doubt Cliffy's the best I played with. There's no doubt in my mind. He was just unbelievable, you know. He could, people would say, how do you know, we're not Cliffy's going to, I said, Cliffy doesn't know what he's going to do. He'll see it, and he'll see it two players in front. He'll get across and he'll dummy and hit a bloke on the outside who hits a hole well. Or he's just unbelievable. But, you know, you throw in the Ian Roberts, the Michael O'Connors, the Iroh boys, you know, they were fantastic as well. Jeffrey, Tuvey, mate. Like, everyone says pound for pound tough players, you know, whatever. He is the toughest by far I've ever played with or seen. You know, what he played with, what he put his body through, was remarkable. You know, people talk, you know, as I said, they talk about tough guys, the Terry Randalls and the Bob O'Reillys and the Dallas Donnellys and those guys. They dissed out punishment. Don't worry, they soaked it as well, but Jeffrey soaked it. He just took the lot and just kept bouncing up and going again. You know, he probably should have retired probably 5 years before he did, because his neck was buggered, you know. So, yeah, he's a tough little bugger, Jeffrey. But, yeah, definitely Cliffy's the best I've played with. The best I've seen, I feel, is Andrew Johns. Yeah, I felt robbed when he got injured. When he had injury cut his career, because I didn't get to see him play anymore. I just loved watching him play, because he was tough. He could defend. You know, he had Gordon Tallis running at him a metre from the line, stopped him dead in his tracks, you know. And then go do a 40-20, then grab the ball, go down, and put the play on to win the game. You know, he was a freak. Yeah, unbelievable. So.
Get yourself, you could obviously eat up the metres, but you're a bit of a ball player as well. That may
Yeah. Be a part of your game. Yeah, I could say I was born with a football, man. I probably didn't, but yeah. But I had a footy in my hand all the time. I was always passing and doing stuff. So I had a bit of skill, giving myself a bit of a rap, but I don't like doing that. But I had some skill there. I was always doing something with the footy, passing. I was able to stand and offload and attack, but also able to pass before the line, which, lucky enough, Graham Lowe and Marty worked out that I could do that. So at different times, I'd fill in and different moves and be first receiver hit Cliffy at the back or whatever. It was good.
Why do you think you're a fan favourite? I mean, just telling people I was coming up to do this interview, they go, oh, the mule, love the mule.
Yeah.
Why do you think you're...
Probably for what I said before, you know, body shape, bit of a myth about, you know, a bit of the story, like having a good time, like a bit of a party. Could relate to the fan off the street, you know, go and have a beer with a bloke in the pub, a bloke walk up to me in the pub, I'd always stop and say hello, stop and talk to people. It's just... I said it's yeah, just treat people how you want to be treated yourself, and you get it back in spades, you know. And I said it was just, and I said probably the myth about, you know, a bit of a party boy, a bit of fun.
I guess the guy on the hill could relate to you.
Yeah.
That could be me out there.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, that's they relate to me, you know, just out there having a can and a durry, so, yeah.
I'm a bit scared to ask this one, but how did you get the nickname Mule?
Oh, it's a long story. Let's just leave it at that.
So it's... not to do with the way you played the game, or you?
Oh, no.
A bit X-rated, is it?
Yes, it's a bit X-rated.
Talk us through your try. Your one try?
One try at Campbelltown. We played West at Campbelltown. I was in the mud, actually. Probably the best thing I did that day, apart from scoring for myself, I set Desi up for a really nice try. I popped a ball and he ran 40, I think, to score, and I think that won us the game. So that was a pretty good thing. I actually got the Dally M points that day. I still remember that. But yeah, no, it was, they give me the ball about 15 out from our line, and I carted up, chipped over, regathered, went to the fullback, chipped again, regathered, and then sprinted to the corner. Outran the fullback and scored in the corner. No, that's a load of shit, but anyway. Mate, I just got just near the line, I think Desi went to the line and it popped and jinked, and then it just hit me with a short ball, and I just happened to hit a hole and fell over the line, and there I was, first try. Only try. I did score a lot in reserve grade, and 23s, when that was 23s, but yeah, not, only one in the first grade.
How did it end for you? When did it all finish in this
grade? It finished in 93. Yeah, 93. Lowy got sick in 92, and Bob Fulton come back in 90, 93, end of 92, 93. 93 actually. So yeah, sorry, Lowy got thick early 93 and Bob come back and took over. I didn't really seem to get another go after Bob come back. The reason being, I don't know. Dave Alexander was there. He came across from North and he took my spot in the side. I think Cement and Spud weren't there at that stage. But I think they came in 94. But I didn't seem to get another opportunity there. I played a couple of first grade games in 93. And I spoke to Bob at one stage. He said, yeah, hang around next year and play again, you know, if you want to, blah, blah, blah. But then I got an offer to go to England. And so that came up, and I thought it was always something I wanted to do. I was 29. I thought, oh, well, you know, at that stage, people were retiring at 30 and 31. They weren't playing at 38 or 37 because we had to get up and go to work as well. So I thought, oh, I'll take the opportunity and go to England. And so I did. Went to Hull KR over there. And I will say, I played probably the worst football I've ever played over there. I suppose, you know, we got beat in the semi-final in the reserve grade at the football stadium the second week of the semis. So I flew out the following Friday, I think, to England. I went for 8 weeks by myself. Because then I come home, flew home, got married, and then went back again. So our wedding was all organised, and OKR understood that. And so I had a very good 8 weeks over there by myself.
Did that contribute to the football
that
you were playing?
That contributed a lot to the football. So I was like, look, I was overweight. I was carrying quite a few injuries with my knees, and now they're bugging. You know, I'm now 54. I've had both replaced, one 9 years ago and one 2 years ago. So they weren't in real good shape. So, you know, I had good intentions when I went over there, like to be like a real professional, because I wasn't working and, you know, train two or three times a day or twice a day at least, and, you know, look after myself and play some really good footy and hopefully, you know, get a couple, 2 or 3 years out of there. But no, I just got over there and I got sidetracked and waylaid and probably, I said, didn't train as I should, didn't train how I did here. So it obviously showed on the field and so yeah, I wasn't very good for them at all. You know, they look at the different English game a bit different. I was still holding my middle, still doing all my defence, still carting the ball forward, but not as effective as I should have been, you know, so.
Talk us through your life now. How long ago did you move up to Newcastle?
I've been here 20 years. Before I did that, I retired it. It's just after Christmas in 94. So end of 93, I went up. 94, I broke my kneecap playing against York in a Challenge Cup game. I clashed knees with a bloke by the name of Mark Lyons, who played at South and St George. And broke my kneecap, and that was the end of it for me. I put me straight in England. At that stage, sports medicine was like nothing. Just break anything, put you in plaster, that was it. So I had plaster from me here to my ankle. And I come home for some personal reasons. I had to come home, and then I went to saw a surgeon here, and they said, yeah, we can operation and pin it, or, you know, just put you in a brace, it'll heal, no worries. And then I thought about playing again back here the following year, or even going back to England, but it just got too hard, and I said, no, that'll do me. So I had enough. But, yeah, so I moved up here about 20 years ago. I'm not real good with dates. So yeah, it'd be getting close. No, sorry, it's not. It'd be 2000, I think. I come up here with my ex-wife now. And my three children. I thought it was just Belinda, my ex-wife, was from here. And I thought it'd be a good place to bring up the kids. You know, I ummed and ahed for a long time, and I worked for Telstra at the stage and tried to get transferred and couldn't get a gig. And so then they deregulated the industry and a mob come up here called ABB, had the contract. So I got up, got a job with them and moved up. And I was here probably 2 weeks, and I thought, how good's this place? I love it. It reminded me of the Northern Beaches 20 years ago. But yeah, you can be in the surf in the morning for 20 minutes. You want to go motorbike riding in the bush, you can be in the bush in within 15 minutes from mate riding bikes or out in the farm riding horses or whatever, you know. It's probably similar to the, you know, being at Monavale and going to Terry Hills. So, but it was just, and the people were so friendly. It's a real footy town. Newcastle, a real, real footy town. So, yeah, and I said, just got up here and I liked it. So I worked with them for a while. Then they lost their contract, went to Downer, they lost their contract. Ended up with Chubb working for them for a security system in China. My mate who owns this business, Adam Jordan, the Scaffolding Australia. he kept knocking on my door for a long time trying to get me to come and work for him, and he got me one day, and I was had a bad day at Chubb, and they did some stuff I didn't really like, and I said, went and spoke to him and said, okay, what do you want me to do? And he goes, I just want you to run my business for me and help me out the collators. We got contracts in Port Waratah and NCIG and One Steel, Mollycop, and we're just all industrial stuff. And he said, just help me run that, and you run that for me. So, and I've been there probably 10 years now. So, yeah, he looks after me. He's a good guy, and the business is really good. So,
what's your normal day-to-day? What would that entail?
Usually latest is a 7 o'clock start. Go to one of the colos, we do a toolbox, work out the guys, and then make sure and do a bit of invoicing with the work, what we've done, liaise with our clients with Port Waratah, and that's probably my biggest thing for me is liaising with those guys, make sure they're happy what we're doing, guys good, our guys are going in all right. And then late in the afternoon, work out what we need for the next day, organise the guys to go whichever site they've got to go to, and that's it. So, yeah.
Your old fans would want to know, do you still like a beer? You're looking in good nick, I've got to say.
I do love a beer, yes. There's no doubt about that. I've actually just been on a bit of a health kick the last 8 weeks. Did a thing, I'm giving a bit of a rap, light and easy. I don't know why, but light and easy. So I've been able to drop 14 keg, but yes, I still do like a beer. I'm not forgoing my beer for anything. I've been off the bungers for a long time now, actually. I'd say 15, 16 years since I've had a smoke. It's really funny, I smoked when I was playing footy, and Cliffy's the same, and Matty Dunford, and a few of us, But we've all retired, and we've all given up smoking. Like, work that out. See, how stupid are we?
How would you like fans to remember you when they think of Dave Hoskin? What are they?
Oh, just a bloke who had a go, had it going, had a bit of fun along the way too, I look at the guys now, and they don't seem to be enjoying footy. They don't seem to enjoy it. The money was great, the money was, even though I didn't get a great deal of it, that was a bonus. I'm like, I would have played for nothing, But I'd like them to remember me as a knock-around bloke who got out and tried his best and had a go for the club that he loves. So, yeah.
Is there a standout memory in your mind for your footy career?
As I said, probably the first for a game at Brookvale Oval, yeah. So, There's some games there that I sit back and I think, I had a really good game there. We played actually South. It was my first game back again, when I'd gone back to Manly against South, and we played them. It was a Friday night game at the Sydney Footy Stadium, and I still think it's probably the best game of footy I've ever played. It was just, anything I did was good. I set up a couple of tries for Cliffy. I was about that far off the ground, hit Cliffy on the chest with the ball, who scored. And we got we ended up getting rolled. Like Eon Crossan was kicking goals from sidelines and all that sort of stuff. Like we were at one stage about 16 up, but we got beat. But I got the New Zealand TV did the game as well. I got the man of the match in a losing team, so it was a pretty good game. I remember that. But yeah, I think the highlight for me was obviously there's a couple of highlights. So playing for mates like the Johnny Joneses, the Tubes, the Michael O'Connors, Cliffies. Those guys, we were really close knit. Playing with those guys and being mates with them, and also just being able to represent my area, my community, it was great. It was fantastic.
Any regrets?
Oh, it's probably the only probably regret I've got is when I went to England, I didn't show my best, probably maybe if I trained a bit harder, but I couldn't have trained too much harder, but probably curtailed my off field activities a bit. Might have gone a little bit further, but I made my own bed, I lie on it, and I've had a great time. I wouldn't swap it for the world.
Is there anybody in the NRL these days that reminds you of the old mule?
Oh, probably Trent Merrin. He's got a bit of skill and plays a bit of footy at different times. But, as I said, a lot of the guys are just athletes these days. They're not footballers. They're straight up, they're big and they're fast. And, they're not front rowers or second rowers or locks. They're either edge players or middle players. They're just athletes. They don't pass a greater deal of footy. It's just, it's how it is, but.
If you enjoyed that episode with Dave the Mule Hosking, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and share it with your friends and family. If there's a classic Aussie athlete you want us to chat to for the From Then to Now podcast series, make sure to let us know on our Sporting News Australia socials and we'll see what we can do. We'll catch you next week for the next episode of From Then to Now.